Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. It is great to have you here because today's episode is going to kick off an arc over the next few weeks around your interview preparation. And with more and more companies opening up their hiring potential and more people returning back to work as we're seeing unemployment numbers go down, the competition is tough. And so while there are jobs opening up, it also means that you're competing against a lot of people right now. And so I want this and the next few episodes that I drop every Tuesday to really be a supportive and tactical guide to help you navigate your next interview. Now, today we're going to talk about the interview process and what you can expect and some of the nuances and things along the way with some best practices or strategies to really help you as we get ready for you to go into your next interview. Now, if you're liking what you're hearing, obviously, please tell people about it and share. It is the best way for this podcast to grow. And I am just grateful that the growth that this podcast is receiving is getting. It's been amazing. And it just lets me know that this work is landing and landing really well. And if you have chance, if you listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, you can leave a review. Kindly do that. Lisa Lewis Miller, who was a guest on my podcast just a few episodes ago, shared this review. She said, "John is so personable, warm, and wonderfully insightful in this podcast. He really understands how to support and encourage mid-career employees through their professional ups and downs." And that's why I'm doing this. I want this journey to be a whole lot easier for you. And there's a couple things as well that can help make this journey a little bit easier for you. One, if you are not part of my private Facebook group, you need to be. Go to facebook.com, search for Your Mid-Career GPS. You're going to join a wonderful community of like-minded people. We're having some great conversations and discussions and content in there. So go check out that group. It is a private group, so please make sure you do answer the membership questions. I do that just so people know that they have to accept the rules of the group so we can create a safe space for everybody as we're learning and growing together. And you're also not a bot. And the second thing is, check out my book. My book is called Show Up, 6 Strategies to Lead a More Energetic and Impactful Career. It's available on Amazon and also at your favorite bookstore as well. So, you know, when you get a chance to get out and you're going to a bookstore, I hope you get to find it there as well. All right. The interview process. I want to acknowledge that companies will do different things in regarding their own interview protocols and processes. What I'm going to share with you today is the standard process or structure that most applicants go through. So wherever you are at in this entire process, I want you to identify where you are and really lean into what I'm going to share with you today so you can be more prepared for your next interview. Now, I just hosted a masterclass on crushing your next interview just a couple of weeks ago, and I promise I will do it again in the near future, but people who attended that masterclass have emailed me or messaged me back saying how helpful it was. They had an interview later that day and they applied those strategies to their interview and they felt more competent and confident going into those interviews. So these are the things that I'm wanting for you here. And you've got to know the structure to know where you're kind of playing and navigating. So in the entire application process, you have taken time to submit your resume and a cover letter if there is an opportunity to have that. If you didn't listen to last week's episode number 23, I went into all of the ins and outs of writing a really good cover letter and why you should, and also why you should not in certain cases. So definitely go back and check that out. But I've said over and over again that the point of your resume or the purpose of your resume is to get you an interview. You clear the applicant tracking system, you get someone to take a look at it, and they want to call you in for an interview or call you up for an interview because they are interested in learning more about you. There's a huge difference between when people are interested in us versus just finding us interesting. This is all about generating interest. And we want them interested in us so that therefore they can have an initial call. From that, you're going to have maybe another round of interviews. Maybe they're virtual. Maybe they are in person, depending on when you listen to this. But let's just envision here a three-part interview process. And we can't have this discussion without talking about virtual interviewing, because one of the great things that we have seen as a result of the last year or so is that we've gotten a whole lot better at virtually connecting and virtually interviewing. And for companies, this is a game changer in terms of money and time and not having to fly people in or have people in for half-day interviews and panels and all these other kind of things. We have found ways to do virtual interviewing a whole lot better. And so that first interview is also that opportunity for you to make a really good first impression. Now, if you are being asked to attend a virtual interview, here are a few of my tips to help you just knock that virtual interview out of the park. You need a good camera and you need a good microphone. Now, most smartphones and current laptops, their video and audio technology is usually really, really good. However, when you are presenting yourself virtually on camera, I want you to put your eyes in the top third of the screen. Make the camera level with where your eyes are. And what that does by putting your eyes in the top third is we get a good frame for you. We get your head, we get your neck, we get a little bit of your upper body, your shoulders. One of the things, and I see this when I'm working with clients when we're doing interview coaching, their camera positions are usually all off. A lot of times it almost looks like they're just a talking head. Like, I'd like to see your neck. Okay. Like, let's get this all framed out accordingly. Right. You also want to be relatively close to the camera. You don't want to be so far away. This is, even though it's virtual, it is that opportunity to connect. So sit pretty close to the camera, but not so close that I'm going to be seeing your nose hairs. Right. You want to make sure that that camera is level, so you're not looking down at the person on the other side of the screen, or they're looking up at you, right? Or you're having to look up at them. Keeping your eyes in the top third of the screen is really, really going to be very, very helpful. The other thing is you need a very clean or professional background. If you're doing this interview in your bedroom, I wouldn't suggest that. Right? Maybe there's a spot in your living room or your dining room. I would try to avoid sitting on a sofa. If you do have a desk or an appearance of some kind of desk, that's usually a good place to anchor yourself in that regard. But the background needs to be professional. When we were doing in-person interviews, the environment was already dictated for you because you were going to that place of business to interview. In a virtual interview, you're letting them into your home. So let's get that background really, really clean and professional. And also make sure that you are dressing appropriately for the interview. Yes, you're probably going to have to dress up a little bit for the interview. And I encourage you to fully dress for the interview. That means all the way down to socks and shoes, like dress shoes, not wearing sneakers, okay? Now, maybe if you're interviewing for a startup and they're a little bit more casual and things like that, maybe that might be appropriate. You're going to be the judge of that in that regard. But we have seen so many epic fails or epic Zoom fails where people have put on the jacket, the shirt, and the tie and left gym shorts on or boxer shorts on. And then they have this fatal flaw that kind of happens and it's just completely embarrassing. Folgers has a really good commercial right now that kind of pokes fun at that, but also hits that kind of nerve a little bit. When we dress fully, our energy changes. Our demeanor and the importance of things change. So it's important that when you're going for that virtual interview, you are dressing up and dressing up fully. I know someone who jokes that he keeps his suit nearby and he puts on the full suit when he's got a virtual interview and then he goes back to his like polo shirt and jeans afterwards, right? It's just like, it's always there because I just know when it's interview time, I need to be fully dressed for it. It's that old saying about, you know, dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have. So especially if you're in a career transition space, make it a point to really dress for the job that you want. So that typically happens in that first round, right? It's usually probably either a phone call or it's a video interview. And that first interview is a chance to get to know you a little bit. This may be conducted by a recruiter or it may be conducted by an HR person that's going to ask you a few screening questions to assess some of the technical and behavioral competencies that they're looking for in order to make a decision to move you on to the next round. Those first interviews are usually pretty short, 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes, and 30 minutes might be stretching it here, but it's really a qualifying call. And at that point, you're then going to go on and look at round two. Now, in round two, regardless of whether it is virtual or in person, the same structure here applies. What's going to happen here is that someone at the company or some people at the company are going to get to know you a little bit more. They're going to dig a little deeper into some of the technical knowledge, some of your experience. They're going to ask you a lot of behavioral questions that tell me about a time when, or when did you do this? These are the things that they're looking for in terms of assessing fit. And usually in the second round, you are now at a point where you are interviewing with a stakeholder or several stakeholders who are going to make a decision either about whether or not to select you for the job or to move you into the final candidate pool in what I like to say is the third round. Those interviews are understandably a little stressful. This also may be the first time you are interviewing with somebody on the other side of the screen. There is a thing called one-way interviews where candidates are literally recording their responses to questions into a video camera, into an online portal, if you will, from the company, and there's nobody on the other end. You could have multiple tries at recording your answer. You may have three tries and that's it. You may be limited to a certain amount of time for your answers. And what that does in a one-way interview is it's going to give you an opportunity to tell your story, to share your answers to those questions, but the company doesn't need to be directly involved in that process by being with you at that appointment time. So in a second round interview, this may be the first time you're actually interviewing with people. People, like something we've missed really connecting with a lot over the last year or so. And it's where sometimes our interview skills may get a little bit rusty. In building that relationship with the hiring manager in the interview panel, you and they are assessing whether or not this is a good match or not. You may not be given questions ahead of time. Typical protocol is you don't get them. I often find that the best way to prepare is to take a look at that job posting and see what kind of questions they may ask you. But I also recommend that you keep five really good stories in your back pocket. Five things that you can talk about fully that are related to your experience, your contribution, your impact, your value, your significance, that you can pull that story out and relate it to one of the questions that they're asking you. And at the end of that interview, you should be told some kind of next steps. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about negotiating next steps in a future podcast episode, because today we're just talking about structure. But you absolutely want to be clear about what those next steps are, both what you're hearing from them and what you're expecting as well. How many of you, myself included on this, have suffered from a lot of mind drama when we're being told that we would hear by end of business on Friday, and 2 or 3 weeks goes by and we haven't heard anything? And now we're wrestling with our thoughts and our mind about whether we got the job or we didn't. Did they like us? Did they not? Did they offer it to somebody else? Did they not accept it? Are they going to offer it to me? What am I going to hear? We might even have been ghosted. So next steps are important. But in this interview structure and process, when the company lets you know about that, one of the things you can control is how you show up after the interview. And after the interview, what I always suggest is take some moments to send a thank you message. You should know an email contact or have some idea about an email convention that you would be able to email somebody. At worst case scenario, you're going to email the person who arranged the interview for you and ask them to forward that email to the people on the panel. But you want to make it a point to thank every person you interview with at every single point. They have taken time out of their day to get to know you a little bit. And that is why it's important for you to thank them. It doesn't need to be a grandiose email. It needs to be short, sweet, and to the point. Why are you thanking them? What did you enjoy about the interview? Is there a particular point that you want to emphasize or share or clarify based on the discussion? And then have a call to action regarding next steps. But take time to thank them. Now, if you clear the second round, I like to call the next one either, you know, the final round, the third round, whatever that is. Sometimes you could have fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds of interviews, depending on the kind of job you are interviewing for. But when you get to that third round, let's acknowledge that you are part of a small group of candidates who are being considered for the position. You more than likely will not know how many. In my experience, it's typically been 3. It could be 4, it could be 2, it could be 5. It all depends. And it depends on what exactly they're looking for and what additional information they are seeking from their candidate pool. But when you make it to the third round, you've gotten pretty far. And that obviously is something to celebrate. And at that point, people can really start thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm going to get the job. I'm going to get the job. They're going to offer it to me. What do I need to do? I need to say this. I need to be more energetic. I need to showcase this importance and talk about my network here and all the great stuff that I've done. And you get out of the whole purpose of the third round of interviews. They just want to see if you fit. And when we start focusing on the outcome, we get away from the moment at hand, which is, I'm here for this interview. Let's talk. Let's see if this is a good fit. I never, ever, ever say to my clients, I hope you get the job. What I say to them is, I hope you get to choose. I hope you get to choose from multiple offers. I hope you realize that even if they make you an offer, you still have an opportunity to choose, because you should be interviewing them as well. It's usually in the third round where your questions about them really need to shine. Now, obviously, there's going to be a point in any interview where you're going to have an opportunity to ask questions of them. Usually, second round, first round is initially a screen, probably not a lot of opportunity there, but certainly in the second round, you're going to have some questions. When you get to that third round, those questions need to be leveled up. They need to be more specific. They need to be generated around the things that are most important for you about the company, the kind of work you are going to be doing, the people you are going to be working with, and making sure that you see an alignment and you can actually see yourself working there. Leave the conversations around benefits and compensations and work from home responsibilities and PTO, vacation time. Leave those for the negotiation part. We will talk about how to answer the salary question in a future episode and really focused around just knowing your worth in that. And that may come up in this round. It may not, depends on where you're interviewing. But that third round is so key for you to build that relationship and get them interested in who you are, what you do, and for them and for you to see whether or not you could really work there. You kind of see that fit happen. So as we wrap up here, remember that the interview process or the interview structure is taking you from an initial screen, maybe with a recruiter, HR person, maybe to a first round interview that may be a virtual one-way interview where you're answering questions and no one's on the other end, to a next round or second round interview where you would actually be meeting with people, maybe one, maybe more than one. Their stakeholders are going to have a decision or input into whether or not they should be hired. They should hire you. And then finally, that third round, which is that decision-making round, where you are one of a handful at most of people who are being considered for the job. In all of my hiring experience, one of the things that I have enjoyed being a part of and have valued is being part of a committee or team of people who would weigh in on whether or not that person would get hired. Obviously, if you're the hiring manager and you have final say, you're going to take input from people, but ultimately you're going to be the one. As part of that group, you never ever know who's going to go to bat for you. It might be the quietest person in that interview who may be so stoic and you're not getting any nonverbal for them. But inside, they are willing to go to bat for you at all cost because they believe you're the right person for the job. And when that decision meeting is happening later, they're going to be the ones that are talking the loudest for you. You never know. That is why building relationships with people on the team through the interview process is vital to your success. Because while that person may not have final decision-making or hiring authority, they may be the one to influence the person that does to get you the offer you're looking for. Interviews are complicated. There's no doubt about it. There is so much more that we are going to cover in upcoming episodes, but I wanted to get this structure out of the way on this episode to really set up for what else is coming up. All right. So next week, I'm going to start sharing with you some of my top interview tips that are going to help you show up more energetically for your next interview, to build that relationship with the interview panel and team, and to come from a place of value and service far differently than you've ever done before. All right. I will see you next week. Definitely check out my private Facebook group. Would love to see you in there. Sometimes we have interesting conversations around podcast episodes as they drop. So definitely come on in there and chime in. And I wish you a great rest of the day. So stay safe, be well, be kind to each other, and keep building your mid-career GPS 1 mile at a time. I'll talk to you later. Make it a great day. If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. And I'd appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review. Visit johnnarrell.com to download your free copy of the 55-Minute Career Transition Jumpstart to help you start building your mid-career GPS. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social at John Narrell Coaching. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.